And it's a wonderful good morning, everybody. And I pray to Krishna that you never get a cold. I saw yesterday a very relaxing and beautiful atmosphere. There was a very warm atmosphere in the room. Everyone was talking with each other. Some of you were impressing me with a relaxed lying on the floor. I thought it was very significant that we seem to have become something like a community during this retreat. I will talk about this idea of community in my last session, the crown of the tree of life, which refers to our relationships. If I may just very quickly go with you through the different, I think, two sessions which we had. It was important for me to speak about the roots as being something which each one of us needs to cultivate on his own. With me is a memory of what John said, that head teacher of summer schools, who now is interested to help also in Avanti. She said, on that journey from her home into the schoolroom that she does every morning, she reminds herself of a few important spiritual convictions she has. And then when she stands there and before the children, invisibly with her, this is now my interpretation, the spiritual roots are there. I was thinking about this morning. I knew that I would have my last session with you. I thought, let me really give them something meaningful, something which they can remember, which is helpful for their work. And this will only be possible if I myself am a meaningful person, a useful person, a deeply rooted person. So I made an effort to water my roots this morning. In our lives, we need to all take care of strong, well-nourished roots, so that the growth which we do, or let me say, the outgrowth, I'm thinking of when we act in this world, either in the classroom or in our various aspects of life, that we carry with us in a spiritual strength, which for sure everyone will profit from, and most probably it is us who will profit the most from it. So taking care of the roots is foundational. It's giving you another example. If you want to build a high building, first take care that you build deep fundaments, because the higher you want to go, the deeper you have to also go. This is one law of the nature, and we cannot do without it. In fact, I have always seen that those persons who were really able to impact the life of others, they really always did their homework of building deep roots or a good fundament for their lives. The second aspect of the tree of life is the trunk, our physical and emotional well-being. I must admit that giving the short time I did a little bit poorly on the physical well-being by just giving you three ideas. Good diet, a restful sleep, and a lifestyle where there are exercises. I did this morning, I always do this. I'm now handicapped, as you can see. My brain might also be handicapped by this embarrassing cold. But even today I did my exercises because I know with it I can even go through a crippling cold, no problem. The body is, when it is exercised, the juices flow, the nerves are in good condition, and whatever illness covers us is just a temporary cloud before the sun that goes. Today, good. Today I want to talk about the crown of the tree of life, and I must say that here I will present this in a different way, a way which I usually don't do. Usually when I give when I give my retreats, I make a lot of effort to tell people that it is not good to be selfish and thrown back into a space where there are of selfishness, that it is good to take care of others and to think of the welfare of others. But you are teachers and you are doing this every day, so I don't need to talk about this to people like you. It became apparent to me yesterday when I joined for a few minutes a conversation with Nitesh and one of the teachers. He looked able-bodied, if he could uproot trees and replant them quickly. A strong man. Let me see if I can find him. Yes, you. is this not embarrassing? What is your good name?
Simon.
Simon? Oh, sounds like the person who could wrestle with lions. Simon, yes. And there was a discussion between the two. Simon just spoke about his own glowing yes for teaching, and I was impressed. He said, it's a passion for me to go there and help the young people grow. It's a passion. He said, it's a passion, something which he is on fire with. And I thought, yes, to be a teacher nowadays, you need to have that fire inside in order to go through all the things which are around teaching. As you know, it's not always romantic to be a teacher. Sometimes the children are just bored with you. They don't want to listen, or they have their own plans. And I sometimes, you know, I give regular classes to the young ones. I call them children lectures. And I always feel it's my most challenging audience because they will express immediately what they think. It is not, they have a big filter between this, like we have this cultural filter, and they will want the best of you. They want you, they want the raw material of you, the real you. All right, so you are very well aware of compassion and or taking care of others, and I have great respect for your engagement, your involvement, your passion, and so on. When I was in Australia, I was giving a seminar on the Tree of Life, and there was one teacher from a school, Sabina was her name, and afterwards she came and said that she appreciated the model. But she said it's sometimes difficult for her to remain on the level which is required in order to care for others. It's sometimes difficult for her to muster the inner strength to really be concerned about the children, that they get something. And if I could say something about this from my own experience, and thinking, and then sent her one poem which I wrote many years ago when I felt compassion fatigue in my life. I did not want to see people any longer. I was tired of going and teaching and teaching and teaching and giving and giving and giving. And I understood if I don't take a little pause now, I will have a burnout, which happens to teachers all over the world. It happens to all those who are in the helping profession, in whatever way that is. And I still remember, I was a broken man at that time. I really had overdone it. Too much travel, not enough sleep, and then taking too much to heart what people put on me. And I stayed in Serbia in a little cottage in the countryside, and I had to take water from my drinking water from a spring. And one day I sat at the spring a little bit in the distance, and I watched the people coming to the spring, filling up their bottles, plastic bottles, their little containers for their household water. Serbia is a poor country, and that is quite visible, almost like in India, their social life happens at the spring or at the well. And as I watched, I got a lesson from that spring, which I then shared with Sabina. I said, the only way to overcome compassion fatigue, or the fatigue which happens when you are getting tired of giving yourself to the children, is you need to be connected. Connected with a higher source of energy than what is at the present moment with you. And I learned this from the bell, an old bell. And I want to read this poem to you, because it's somehow it's something real. An old bell gave water to all, the young, the old, the happy and the sad, every day, without hesitation or delay. When I first came to him, thirsty, I was amazed. Did he give me water again and again? Not exhaust him. So I decided to ask. No problem, he said. I'm only the well, not the spring, which supplies me. As long as the connection is there. Let's live like the well. Live in the higher connection. you will be happy to pass on what the source gives you, never to be exhausted. So for a spiritually oriented school, I really feel it's good to not be shy about this, to not do it like the religious people who keep it, the spiritual, maybe spirituality, at least you know, once a year they go for Christmas into the church. That's North Germany, the area from which I come, and they keep it a little on a low flame. I think as a teacher, as teachers who are spiritually open, otherwise you would not have found your way into the Avanti schools, it's good to know that we have access to an inexhaustible supply of energy. Just like the well is here, and from underneath comes a water stream, a water stream, which is nourished by a spring. And the well can give water again and again if it is connected with that stream of water which comes from the spring. I think things like prayer, public assembly, in a public assembly in the morning, things like entering into silence and space, where most of us are very afraid to enter because we don't know what demons lurk in our heart when we become silent and they manifest. Things like sacred reading, meditation, whatever it is that nourishes you should be visited more on a daily level, and then you will never be exhausted. And if you should come to that state where every teacher and everyone who tries to do something for others comes with this, this is normal, you know, we overdo it, we become fatigued, it's treated even, compassion fatigue, I had to learn this. When we come to this, and quickly, let us see where something broke in the higher connection in our life, where it's not so well working for us. And let's restore it, repair it, and let's run back to the spring and connect. I wrote this to Sabina after I had visited her school in Australia. That was one of school, but the after I had communicated with her a few times, and I said to her what I do when I want to connect with the source. I do three simple meditations, and I think you will find them in your little booklet. I first think that I am really a tiny part of God, and I'm not God. I'm like a piece of gold from the gold mine, but I'm a divine child of eternity. I do this as a meditation. Then I go back to myself. I scale down all the demanding projects in my life, and I come to this simple understanding. The second step is after I come to myself as a spiritual soul, I go, oh Krishna, oh my Lord, you are my infinite master, you are my all and everything, my beloved, the source of all my energy, we have a relationship, I am yours and you are mine. then I go from there into the world with my meditation. I think the reason why I'm here is really to learn this higher connection. What would a leaf which is cut from the tree, how long can it exist? A finger which is cut from the whole body, how long will it result in pain before it is life leaves it completely? It is a matter of seconds. In the same way, how long will we be able to exist if our higher connection is separated? We should not allow this to happen, but we should daily visit this source of energy, so that this compassion fatigue, which is the greatest problem a teacher struggles except mobbing and such things, but that is hopeful, that's not going on in the party. This compassion fatigue that can be overcome like this. The second point which I would like to speak about this morning is a model which I learned from His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, the secret of the redwood trees. I believe very strongly, not believe, I have seen, experienced, that it is possible for us to have a healthy crown where we are good in relationships, where we are strong, where we are giving, when we have good connections with each other. I think crucial for any school is that the teachers have a good connection with each other, because they will derive strength from this connection. Therefore, I want to congratulate you all for doing these retreats where you move out of the classroom, you move out of what you daily do, you move out of your roles even, which you take in the school, but you come together as a community of Avanti teachers to do something for your own spiritual growth, your own strengthening, because it is from this inner strength that we will have the outer strength to do all the projects which are out there in the vast ocean of not yet realized opportunities. Yes, there's a vast ocean of not yet realized opportunities, because what we have to offer, education which is aiming at character formation and spiritual insights, is really very attractive and very necessary. Because, as you know better than me, schools are struggling. The children are more difficult to educate, and educators have to always think, my God, how do we get to these children before they are spoiled by internet and mobile phone apps and whatever, which may not be appropriate for them. So it's good if we are strong, if we form something. Radhanath Maharaj very nicely talks about the secret of the redwood trees. The redwood trees, as you probably know, I don't know the Latin word, but they are huge trees which grow in the California area. They have such strong trunks that you need a human chain of sometimes up to 40 people who hold each other hand by hand to make a circle around them. They are really strong. They are very high. You're dwarfed when you stand before them. And they are in some cases said to be 5,000 years old. I'm not able to say anything about this, but let us say very, very old. They have survived hurricanes, earthquakes, climatic changes, and most important, the human civilization, which does create harm to our forest. And my dear teachers, what is most amazing is that these trees do not have deep roots like you would expect of them, but only very shallow roots. Normal trees, like for instance the palm tree, it's not so normal in our area, but I know for sure for palm trees and other trees, they need to go deep with their roots if they want to grow high. And the higher the trees grow, the deeper their roots. A palm tree, for instance, has roots which have the same depth as its height. But the redwood trees, who are 200 meters and more large, I hope, is it? I also really high. They have shallow roots. What is their secret? If you will ask a forest ranger, he will tell you the secret of the redwood trees is that they grow their roots to the side and then they wrap their roots around the roots of the neighboring trees, and in this way they live not of depth but of interconnected roots. They almost wrap them around each other's roots like hands, you know, and this gives them the strength. Even if one redwood tree burns down to a stump, because his roots are connected with a living network of other trees, he grows in a very quick way back. I don't think to the heights that takes some time, but to a normal healthy tree. So this is really also the idea of the crown of the tree of life. You need to grow to the side, not just up or down. You need to grow into your relationships. And speaking about Avanti here to you, I think it is very good if you keep the spirit of this retreat, of forming a community, an inspiring community in your lives, which can nourish yourself. That will be very good. This is the main idea of the crown of the tree of life, to build meaningful relationships. The ancient scriptures tell us six ways of the language of relationship has six ways of expressing yourself. One is, you will smile, to give gifts and to receive gifts. I always think the greatest gift you can give someone today is your attention. And to receive gifts, then God, your crown grows. I have given one gift yesterday to a very nice person, and I could see that after I have given the gift, our relationship has become 10 times as close by this simple act. Gifts are not just material gifts, immaterial gifts. And I think you're intelligent, you can immediately know what that could mean. Try to come from the Avanti retreat home with a gift in your hand and share it with others, the gift of knowledge. This is what we learned, this is what I learned. Or you can steal some prasadam, some of the good food which we have. I'm saying it like this, you can ask them to. These are two, give gifts, receive gifts. Then the second is inquire confidentially what is your experience on the path of life, what is your treasures which you can share with me. And then also share confidentially from your experiences. This revealing, inquiring and then revealing your mind in confidence is something which, like no other thing, will stabilize relationship and help new relationships to grow. You should master this language of inquiring for the deeper things, not the shallow things. Hello, how are you? Fine, okay, that was not a nourishing conversation. That was an automatic response. Take time for the more personal things. And finally, give spiritual food and receive spiritual food. That I think that's the reason also why such retreats are so wonderful. We eat good food, and it begins, means offered food, divine food, spiritualized food, and it builds something invisible between us. Okay. I would like to close this. But let me see if I have something else. I want to do a little meditation, a compassion meditation, which I feel can empower all of you at the end. But before I do this, I like to tell you a little story. I personally like candles very much. It is a fable, and if I don't hide it carefully, and if I say it, people think I'm strange. I really like them very much, and not just a little, like it's normal. I'm an expert on candles and how to light them, and I'm very careful with my candles that I nourish them, because for me the light of the candle is a symbol of the soul in the darkness, which lights up the darkness. It's a spiritual symbol somehow. So there's an ancient story. I wish Jan would be here, our teacher, but maybe someone who meets her can tell the story to her. I would love to dedicate it to this very determined little woman who went, despite her illness. We commiserated yesterday a little. We both have a cold. And it came all the way to give up in my mind a very, very nice workshop. I really appreciated the thoughtfulness and the thought thought provocating. Yes, we both happen to like Rumi very much, and so Rumi tells this story. Once the sun was setting, and it spoke to the bird, "Soon it will be dark here. Is there anyone who can do my job of putting light into this dark world?" And the creation remained silent. The sun said, "I don't think you understood me. I'm soon setting, and it will be pitch black dark in this universe. No one will see anything any longer. Is there not any one of you who's willing to spread some light?" There was a big silence in the creation. "I'm saying it the last time," said the sun. "I'm soon setting. Anyone here who likes to take a little of my burn?" All of a sudden there was a joyful little voice. The voice said, "Yes, I will burn throughout the night." The sun looked, and it was a little candle like this. That's the sun said, "You, what will you do?" And the little candle said, "It's not my capacity to light up the whole universe, but my capacity, small capacity, is to light one room." And the sun heard this. He became encouraged and said, "Okay, I'm coming back next morning." I think when we hear about being compassionate as the main value of the tree of life, being emphatic, because this is what makes a person who has good relationships, he's not selfish, then we sometimes shudder. "I'm a small person. I'm not a very heroic being. I'm not like Martin Luther King or I don't know good English examples, but they must be there. Florence Nightingale. I'm not like that. Mother Teresa. I'm a normal person." That's all right. Light up your room. Stay in your capacity. That's good enough, and that will incite or inspire the big sun, the supreme Lord, to give his good kripa, his good mercy, maybe even through you. Maybe each one of you is meant to do something extraordinary, but if that is not, it's extraordinary enough for a small candle to light a room. It doesn't need to do more. It's enough. Good. I would like to now make a compassion meditation. Any questions so far? Before we go into another space. Okay. This doesn't have to be a bad sign. It can be a sign of thoughtfulness. I would like to let me see how to make this good. Yes. Yes. I have a quick show of hands. Are all of you in a classroom situation? Who of you is in a classroom situation? That's about half of you. And the rest, I assume, is staff, a support team. Good. But the support team, I mean, have they have to deal with children also, or?
Children are
everywhere. They are the ocean, and we swim in that ocean. Be mindful of all each little wave that comes our way. An ocean of children. You have, I think, after in the schools, 1,600 children, or 8, how many children are there?
Across all the schools? 2,300 across all the schools.
Oh yeah, 2,300, oh yeah. When they all raise their voice, it's quite loud. loud, fine. Okay, I will take some of you in the meditation in the classroom, and the others, the staff people, can relate this to their encounters with children. But if you want, this compassionate meditation extends beyond the children. It goes to the, how do we say, it goes directly also to our relationships, for instance, at home or in our friends. Please sit comfortably. Try to sit with dignity, whatever that means. Whenever I say, I learned this yesterday. Jan said, she asked the classroom, what if Jesus would come to this school? How would he walk? And one child said, with dignity. And she said how this moved them very much, the teachers who heard this, and the school, and they thought that's a good value to have dignity. For me, dignity means you connect with the best in yourself. And let your hands rest on your knees, please. It's good to have the palms open. We still keep our eyes open, and just sit nice and make an effort to relax the neck and the shoulders, because that's usually where we carry our tensions. Please now direct your eyes to an imaginary spot, maybe around 1 meter in front of you. It will help you to relax your gaze and with it your mind. Please now take 5 deep, audible breaths. Breathe in through your nose and out through your mouth. You don't need to force the breath, but just deep. When you are ready, please close your eyes. Your body should be completely relaxed. you remain incredibly attentive. Continue breathing effortlessly. You just follow your natural breathing rhythm without influencing it. On your next inhale, please be mindful of the air surrounding you. It's really an ocean of air, and you take a little part from it. Direct your attention to your nose. And on your next inhale, pay attention how the air flows into your nostril, into your lungs, and then the belly. Breathing is such a miracle. And then you breathe out. Please be aware how the air empties out of your lungs and flows through the nostrils back into the room. We are connected in many ways. We had a retreat together. We are also connected by the air. In fact, we are all interconnected. Now enter the inner space, the space in the heart, and direct all your attention to this place. You live there, the eternal self. Your nature is to be eternal, full of knowledge and boundless bliss. You are part of God, full of immeasurable love. Now, from this space, think of the people who need compassion. Allow your own images to rise from within. Maybe a homeless person. Maybe people in your workspace. Maybe some of those little precious children. Allow an image to come up. Maybe your own children. And connect now with that spring, that stream of water to which we are all connected. Like the bell who's connected with an underground stream which comes from a spring. Connect with that inexhaustible source of compassion. And tell yourself, by focusing on those who need your compassion, tell yourself, just like me, people of this world are seeking happiness. Just like me, the people of the world are trying to avoid suffering. Just like me, people have known sadness, loneliness, and despair. Just like me, other people are trying to fulfill their needs. Just like me, others are learning about life. Now, from this place, send your good wishes, your prayers, maybe, your blessings even, to those who need some compassion. And as you do so, feel the twigs and branches of your own crown of life grow and extend. Welcome back in Buckland. to do this, it's not necessary to do a long extended meditation like this. It was also not so long, but you can do it very briefly, that I wanted to say. But in all cases, if you really want to be helpful and compassionate, it is very good to return to your own source of connectedness, the divine connection, the higher connection. It's very good to do that, so that you draw from a strength where you can really do it. This strength is really there. You know, Sigmund Freud got it all wrong. He said that there's nothing which is so opposite to the human nature as to care for others. There's nothing which runs so opposite. Therefore, religions had to come and say, love your neighbor. If there wouldn't be a need, if it wouldn't be that the human being is a selfish person, then there would be no need to even say, love your neighbor. But there's nothing which is so opposite. But modern research work has shown that this is wrong. We have something like the ability to mirror the happiness and the distress of others. There are even neurons, they're called mirror neurons in us. It was not known in old times, but it is a well-established fact that a human being only becomes a fully mature human being if he can grow beyond himself and his interest. It's almost like the eye. Only if the eye can look beyond itself, is it a healthy eye. If it's a sick eye, it has a cataract, it will look not beyond itself, it will be a blind eye who only sees gray, meaningless gray. So a selfish person is not yet developed in his vision because he only sees himself and his tiny little needs and complaints to the world that the world has not yet sprung up to fulfill the needs. So I wish you all the best in applying this model. Please remember it from time to time. The Tree of Life, I think it will help you very much. For this, we have tried to make this little brochure. I really hope it's helpful, and you can go back and when I ever get a chance to see you again, maybe on some street crossing in London, then I will look how big your Tree of Life has grown. It should be a good walking tree. Thank you very much. That was certainly an amazing experience to be with you. I very much appreciate this atmosphere in the Buckland Hall. Very nice, and I really hope you take some good inspirations with you, which will empower you in your life. It's really my sincere prayer. And please keep on the good work. This is a very, very amazing effort. There is so much opportunity really waiting. Because the idea of spirituality, just the idea, the recognition and appreciation that spirituality is a must in life, is really growing. It is becoming very soon mainstream, and we are really here at a time and place where we can become really do something useful. We could become a light which expands itself very nicely. All right, thank you very much. I will ask Antoni to now make a few announcements.